Hare Krishna. We welcome you again to the eternal festival of Krishna consciousness that is taking place perpetually in New Dwarka Dham. Today is a special day because it is the appearance day of Srila Srivas Pandit, who is one of the members of the Panchatattva whose names we sing every day before we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Vatara Bhakta Kyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Nityananda Prabhu is the first expansion of Krishna, Lord Balaram. Advaita Acharya is an incarnation of Krishna, Mahavishnu. Gadadhar Pandit is the internal potency of Krishna, Srimati Radharani. And Srivas Thakur is the devotee, the leader of the devotees, and he is the incarnation of Narada Muni. As explained in the book Gaur Ganodesha Deepika, which identifies who the different personalities are in Chaitanya Leela, who they are in Krishna Leela. And it is described there that Srivas Pandit is Narada Muni, and his brother, Sri Ramai Pandit, is Narada Muni's closest friend, Parvat Muni. And Srivas Pandit's wife, Malini, in Krishna Leela is Ambika, who is Krishna's nurse. And she used to feed Krishna her breast milk. So that identity of Malini is very significant, as we will discover very soon. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So Srivas Pandit and Malini appeared ahead of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to play the role of elders in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srivas Pandit and Advaita Acharya were very intimate friends. And Srivas Pandit would regularly go to Advaita Acharya's home to perform Harinam Sankirtan with him and to hear him speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. And just as Advaita Acharya was very distressed to see the fallen condition of the people in Navadvip at the time, so too Srivas Pandit was also distressed. And he also was praying for the Lord to descend. And he was performing Harinam Sankirtan with the mood of prayer that the Lord descend. And eventually, Jagannath Mishra and his wife Sachi Devi moved to Navadvip, to Mayapur. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as their child. And it's described that Srivas Pandit was so close to Jagannath Mishra that he was always with him. They said he was just like his shadow. Wherever he went, Srivas Pandit went. And Malini was also very close to Sachi Mata. And they also took great pleasure in each other's company. And after the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they took great pleasure in caring for the Lord. In his childhood pastimes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Nimai, went to school. And he was sort of naughty, like Krishna was also naughty. Even Srila Prabhupada said that naughtiness in a child is a sign of intelligence. He would play different pranks, but he was also, you know, a brilliant student. So Srivas Pandit one day asked him, he was just like a young lad, he asked him, you know, you're going to school, you're studying so many things and learning so many things, but what is the purpose of it all? He said, the purpose of it all is to know Krishna and develop Krishna bhakti. And even if you learn all the other subjects, but if you don't know Krishna and Krishna bhakti, it is all a waste of time. And little Nimai asked him, I would like to know Krishna, and I would like to develop Krishna bhakti. But I will be able to do that only if you give me your mercy. And so Srivas Pandit, like, blessed him. Just playing the part of an elder, he blessed him that, yes, one day you will develop Krishna bhakti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, you know, gradually matured in age, and he was playing the role of a scholar, like a sort of dry logician and scholar. But he was so beautiful and so brilliant that all the Vaishnavas were praying that if only he could become a devotee. And one day their prayers were fulfilled. He went to Gaya and met his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, there. And manifest the pastime of accepting him as his spiritual master. And thereafter he showed, he exhibited the qualities of ecstatic love for Krishna, and he was able to fulfill the purpose for which he descended on earth, which was to experience love of God and spread love of God. And so he returned to Navadvip, and all the Vaishnavas were jubilant. Now Nimai has become a devotee. So now we'll read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 17, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in his youth, text 35. No, 34. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regularly led congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at the house of Srivas Thakur every night for one full year. The ecstatic chanting was performed with the doors closed so that non-believers who came to make fun could not gain entrance. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is open to everyone. But sometimes non-believers come to disturb the ceremony of chanting. It is indicated herein that under such circumstances, the temple doors should be closed. Only bona fide chanters should be admitted. Others should not. But when there is large-scale congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we keep our temples open for everyone to join. And by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this policy has given good results. Text 36. Thus the non-believers almost burned to ashes and died out of envy. To retaliate, they planned various ways to give trouble to Srivas Thakur. And there's an incident described here how the non-believers framed Srivas Thakur. They put the paraphernalia for the worship of Goddess Durga on his front steps, along with a jug of wine. Because, yeah. So, when Srivas Thakur opened the door to his house, he saw all the paraphernalia for the worship of Durga in the lower modes, along with the jug of wine. So he immediately called for all the elders of the town to come, and he said, "Just see what is on my doorstep. Now you know my actual position. I am a worshiper of the goddess Durga, and I indulge in taking wine and other such activities. So now you can punish me in whatever way you see fit. And of course, they all knew that what was going on, and they said, "Who has done this?" You know, and they, upheld his honorable position. There's a lot. But for the sake of time, we can't describe everything. But the person who did that, Gopala Chapala, he was afflicted with leprosy. And he understood that he was getting the reaction to his offense. And so he approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that you're deliverer of the most fallen, you know, you should deliver me. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "No, I will not deliver you, because you have offended my devotee, Shivas Thakur. I will not forgive you. But if Shivas Thakur forgives you, then I will forgive you." And so he approached Shivas Thakur, and of course, as a humble and merciful Vaishnav, Shivas Thakur forgave him. And by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopala Chapala was relieved of the reactions to the offense. Another Brahmin came to join the nocturnal kirtan at Shivas Pandit's house, and he was also forbidden entry. So he became very angry, and the next day when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he cursed him. He intoned a curse and broke his Brahmin's thread and said, "I curse you that you will be bereft of all material happiness." And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this curse, he was jubilant. What a great blessing. So I'm going to focus on a particular pastime that took place during the kirtans. During this pastime, Shivas Pandit's only son died. I mean, not because of the kirtan, but he was, I guess, suffering from some disease, and he died. And all the ladies went into the room, and they were weeping. And Srivas Pandit went into the room and said, "Why are you weeping? Anyone who hears the holy name of Krishna at the time of death will go back home, back to Godhead. And our son had Krishna himself dancing and singing the holy names in his own house when he died. So there is no doubt that he has gone back home, back to Godhead. So you should not be lamenting, but you should be rejoicing. And you should honor this boy as someone who has achieved the goal of life, who's gone back home, back to Godhead. And he said, if any of you disturb Mahaprabhu's kirtan by your sentimental wailing, I will give you something to really lament for, because I will go to the Ganges and drown myself. So nobody cried, and the kirtan continued. But after the kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu perceived that something had gone wrong. And he asked Srivas Pandit, has anything gone wrong? Has any calamity taken place? And Srivas Pandit said, no, Lord. How could any calamity take place in your presence? Everything is auspicious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I think some calamity has occurred. And then he walked into the bedroom where the dead body was lying. And he touched the dead body, and the boy came back to life. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why are you leaving the home of Srivas Pandit? You're born in such an illustrious family. Why are you leaving? And the boy replied, I am under your control. As you ordain me to stay, I stay. And as you ordain me to go, I go. And it is now your desire that I return to Krishna, and so I am going. And then after this exchange of transcendental knowledge, the boy went to Krishna and left his body. And in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged to give the family a philosophical understanding of what had happened and why they should not lament. And they were all satisfied. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Srivas Pandit, don't lament. You have lost one son, but from today on, you will have two sons. Nitai and I will become your sons. And thereafter, it was so. And Nitai, Nityananda Prabhu, he moved into the house of Srivas Pandit and Malini. And even though she was quite an elderly lady, but she would, and Nitai was an avadut, means he's like a completely liberated soul who didn't follow rules and regulations necessarily. But so like he would sit on her lap and she would nurse him. And yeah, she was Ambika. She was a nurse in Krishna Lila. So, I'm going, again for the sake of time, I'm going to move on to a little discussion of Narada Muni. Now, I'll tell one more thing about Srivas. I have to. It's his appearance day. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri. It is said that Shivas Pandit was feeling too much separation. So he returned to his original home in Kumarahatta, which is also a very sacred place. It's also the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master, Ishwarapuri. And so he would do Sankirtan there. And it's described that there are four places where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always appear. And one was the home of Shivas Thakur when he performed kirtan. But once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed that Shrivas Pandit never did any work, so he said to him, Shrivas, I see you're never doing any work. How are you going to maintain your family? And Shrivas Thakur clapped his hands three times. Shrivas Thakur said that I am depending on, on the mercy of the Lord. I don't need to work. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, then you should take sannyas. And Shrivas Thakur said, no, Lord, I cannot take sannyas. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, if you can't take sannyas, and if you don't want to work to maintain your family, what will you do? And then Shrivas Thakur clapped his hands three times. And Mahaprabhu said, what does that mean? And Shrivas Pandit replied that if for 3 days Krishna does not send food, I will drown myself in the Ganges. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, he became very upset. And he said, it is not possible that there will ever be any want in your home. Even if the goddess of fortune herself becomes poverty-stricken and becomes a beggar, you will always have the necessities of life, whatever you need, in abundance. So there are just so many wonderful exchanges. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he loved Shrivas Thakur so much. He said that anyone who is connected with Shrivas Thakur is dear to me. Even the dogs in the house of Shrivas Thakur are dear to me. And this was, the point I wanted to make yesterday as well, that if we become the dog of a devotee, if we become dear to a devotee, then a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in particular, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept us. Shrivas Thakur had a tailor who was a Muslim. And it's a coincidence, but in the Juhu temple art, the tailor is also a Muslim, Abdul. And he was a meat eater. But one day he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in kirtan, just because he happened to be Shrivas Thakur's tailor. And somehow he was just struck with wonder seeing the Lord dance. And really, just because of his connection with Shrivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya manifested his form of Krishna to the Muslim meat-eating tailor and blessed him with ecstatic love for Krishna. And that Muslim began running throughout the town shouting, I have seen, meaning that he had seen Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna. And he became accepted as one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he stayed in the mood of Krishna. But he didn't have any of the paraphernalia of Krishna. So he asked Srivas Thakur, where's my flute? And Srivas Thakur, like, he entered that mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's of being Krishna. And he responded in the mood, and he said, the gopis have stolen it. And he said, and then what happened? Tell me more. And then he said more. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept asking, tell me more. And for the whole night, Srivas Thakur was reciting the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan with the gopis. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was like, had an insatiable thirst. He just wanted to hear more and more. And Srivas Thakur reciprocated. And they passed the whole night. And then finally, when daybreak came in the morning, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sort of came out of that mood and he embraced Srivas Thakur and said, thank you for, you know, speaking Krishna Katha for me. And he gave him more benedictions. So this is another instruction for us, that we should be immersed in Krishna Katha. We should be so expert in Krishna Katha that we can deliver just the Krishna Katha that the audience needs to hear. And we should becomes track of time, and we just are absorbed in chanting and hearing about Krishna. So many instructions. So we can pray to Srivas Thakur to bless us, that we have some taste for Krishna Katha, and that we can speak Krishna Katha in the appropriate way, and that we can become dear to him or dear to his devotees. Because anyone who's dear to Srivas Thakur, or even a dog in his house, becomes dear to Lord Chaitanya. So now, I'll read a little about Narada Muni, because this he is actually, Srivas Thakur in Krishna Leela. Now this story. There are many pastimes that involve Narada Muni. Narada Muni has delivered so many devotees in the universe, beginning with the original descendants of Lord Brahma, Priyavata, Uttanapada, Dhruva Maharaj, so many. So they're one of the progenitors, Daksha. He was entrusted with populating the universe. And he had 10,000 sons named Haryashvas. And he, in a way, he was a good father, in a way. And so he sent his sons to a sacred body of water and asked them to perform austerities so they could get the power to procreate and be good fathers to their children. So while they were performing their austerities, Narada Muni came by and he saw these boys have such good qualities, they're doing such austerities. But what is the purpose? Just to create progeny. So he told them, you know, what you're doing is very good, but the purpose for which you're doing it is not so good. You should give up this idea, and you should serve the Lord with your heart and soul. So they accepted the instructions of Narada. They left that place, and they were never to be seen again by Daksha. So Daksha, you know, he procreated another 1,000 sons, and he gave them the same instruction to go to the sacred water and perform austerities for the sake of getting the power to procreate good progeny. And Narada Muni came again, and he told them more or less the same thing he told their older brothers. He told them, you should also follow your older brothers. And they accepted the instruction and they left, never to be seen again by Daksha. So Daksha became furious. And he thought that Narada Muni was misleading his innocent sons. There's quite an interesting philosophical discussion, because Daksha was highly learned in scriptures, and he had many arguments that could seem to be valid if you don't consider the supremacy of Krishna and Krishna Bhakti. But from, you know, sort of like from the ordinary point of view, they were very reasonable arguments. And as preachers, we may face the same kind of arguments. And the children of such parents who want to come to Krishna consciousness, they also face the same types of arguments. So I can't really read or describe all the arguments, but I will read a little just to give you an idea. So Prajapati Daksha said, oh yes, because he met Narada Muni. What happened was, after his sons left, Narada Muni went to preach to him, because sometimes when at a time of loss, a person is actually more open to receiving spiritual instruction. So Narada Muni is the well-wisher of everyone. He's the well-wisher of Daksha. So he went to see Daksha to try to enlighten him with spiritual knowledge when he was lamenting for the loss of his sons. And this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5, Text 36. Prajapati Daksha said, alas, Narada Muni, you wear the dress of a saintly person, but you are not actually a saint. indeed, although I am now in grihastha life, I am a saintly person. By showing my sons the path of renunciation, you have done me an abominable injustice. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prajapati Daksha condemned Narada Muni because Narada, a brahmachari, could beg from door to door, had made sannyasis of Daksha's sons who were being trained to be grihasthas. Daksha was extremely angry at Narada because he thought that Narada had done him a great injustice. According to Daksha's opinion, Narada Muni had misled Daksha's inexperienced sons. Because of all, Daksha regarded his sons as innocent boys who had been misled when Narada showed them the renounced order of life. Because of all these considerations, Prajapati Daksha charged that Narada Muni was asadhu, means not a sadhu, and should not have adopted the dress of a sadhu. Now Srila Prabhupada relates this to his experience, which is our experience. Sometimes a saintly person is misunderstood by grihasthas, especially when he instructs their young sons or daughters to accept Krishna consciousness. Generally, a grihastha thinks that unless one enters grihastha life, he cannot properly enter the renounced order. If a young man immediately adopts the path of the renounced order, in accordance with the instructions of Narada or a member of his disciplic succession, his parents become very angry. The same phenomenon is occurring in our Krishna consciousness movement, because we are instructing all the young boys in the Western countries to follow the path of renunciation. We allow grihastha life, but a grihastha also follows the path of renunciation. Even a grihastha has to give up so many bad habits that his parents think that his life has been practically destroyed. We allow no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication. And consequently, the parents wonder how, if there are so many no's, one's life can be positive. In the Western countries especially, these four prohibited activities practically constitute the life and soul of the modern population. Therefore, parents sometimes dislike our movement, just as Prajapati disliked the activities of Narada and accused Narada of dishonesty. Nevertheless, although parents may be angry at us, we must perform our duty without hesitation, because we are in the disciplic succession from Narada Muni. Then he accused Narada Muni of, well, basically, breaking apart the family. Prajapati Daksha said, my sons were not at all freed from their three debts. Ordinarily, people have a debt to the sages and a debt to the demigods and a debt to their ancestors or their family members. Indeed, they did not properly consider their obligations. O Narada Muni, O personality of sinful action, you have obstructed their progress toward good fortune in this world and the next. Yes, because they are indebted to the saintly persons, the demigods, and their father. But the fact is, one who surrenders to Krishna is not indebted to anyone, because Krishna is like the root of the tree. By watering the root, all the branches, leaves, twigs, buds are automatically nourished. The mentality of Prajapati Daksha continues even today. When young boys join the Krishna consciousness movement, their fathers and so-called guardians are very angry at the propounder of the Krishna consciousness movement. That means, at that time, Srila Prabhupada. I mean, he still is. Because they think that their sons have been unnecessarily induced to deprive themselves of the material enjoyments of eating, drinking, and merrymaking. Karmis, fruitive workers, think that one should fully enjoy his present life in this material world, and also perform some pious activity to be promoted to higher planetary systems for further enjoyment in the next life. A yogi, however, especially a bhakti yogi, is callous to the opinions of this material world. So there's a philosophy that first you have to enjoy the material world, or try to enjoy the material world, and then when you're frustrated with material enjoyment, you can renounce. There was a so-called philosopher in India named Rajneesh, who had the same philosophy. That first you should enjoy your senses to the fullest, and then when you're fully satiated, you can renounce. And do you know what Srila Prabhupada's comment was? If that was the case, then pigs would be the greatest sannyasis. So, it doesn't really work like that. And then, Prajapati Daksha cursed Narada Muni. Yeah, I'll just read this verse. Daksha says, all the devotees of the Lord but you are very kind to the conditioned souls and are eager to benefit others. Although you wear the dress of a devotee, you create enmity with people who are not your enemies. And you break friendship and create enmity between friends. Are you not ashamed of posing as a devotee while performing these abominable activities? Purport. Such are the criticisms that must be borne by the servants of Narada Muni in the disciplic succession. In this verse, the word soradaganam, a breaker of friendship, is used. Because Narada Muni and the members of his disciplic succession disrupt friendships and family life, they are sometimes accused of being soradaganam, creators of enmity between relatives. Actually, such devotees are friends of every living entity, suridam sarvabhutanam, but they are misunderstood to be enemies. Preaching can be a difficult, thankless task, but a preacher must follow the orders of the Supreme Lord and be unafraid of materialistic persons. So then, Daksha cursed him. And Srila Prabhupada relates this to himself and to us. You have made me lose my sons once, and now you've again done the same inauspicious things. Therefore, you are a rascal who does not know how to behave toward others. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is very, you can imagine this purport was very revealing to us when we read it. Because Prajapati Daksha was a Grihamedi who wanted to remain in household life, he thought that if Narada Muni could not remain in one place, but had to travel all over the world, that would be a great punishment for him. Actually, however, such a punishment is a boon for a preacher. A preacher is known as Parivrajakacharya, an acharya or teacher who always travels for the benefit of human society. Prajapati Daksha cursed Narada Muni by saying that although he had the facility to travel all over the universe, he would never be able to stay in one place. Now here's what Srila Prabhupada says. In the parampara system from Narada Muni, I have also been cursed. Although I have many centers that would be suitable places of residence, I cannot stay anywhere, for I have been cursed by the parents of my young disciples. Since the Krishna consciousness movement was started, I've traveled all over the world 2 or 3 times a year. And although I am provided comfortable places to stay wherever I go, I cannot stay anywhere for more than 3 days or a week. Although there were a couple of exceptions. One is New Dwarka. Jai, Srila Prabhupada's Western world headquarters. Another was Bombay. I do not mind this curse by the parents of my disciples, but now it is necessary that I stay in one place to finish another task. This translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. If some of my young disciples, especially those who have taken sannyas, take charge of traveling all over the world, it may be possible for me to transfer the curse of the parents to these young preachers. Then I may sit down conveniently in one place for the work of translation. So, as it is, Srila Prabhupada pretty much did continue to travel all over the world up until the last year. And then in the last year, his health was such that he could not travel. But he did continue his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And you can see pictures of Srila Prabhupada lying on his bed in a very externally emaciated condition. And his disciples were holding the microphone of the dictaphone close to his mouth so he could continue his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of his final instructions was to read Srimad Bhagavatam as much as possible and discuss. So this is part of our process. And one of those disciples who accepted that the curse of the parents on behalf of Srila Prabhupada was our god brother, His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj, who left his body on this date in Mayapur 10 years ago. Sridhar Swami first met the devotees in Berkeley. And I didn't know it at the time, but later I met one of his old childhood friends on a flight from Los Angeles to Dallas. And he recognized my dress, and he started a conversation. Then he came out with the whole story that he and Sridhar Swami were childhood friends. I'll come back to that in a few minutes. So Sridhar Swami, he had a very stout and strong build, and he had very long hair at the time. And he was sort of a rough person. In fact, that friend of his, childhood friend of his, who met me on the airplane after Maharaj had left, he said that on the weekend, Maharaj and his and their other friends, they would get together and drink, get completely drunk, and then for fun they would punch each other out. That was like their weekend's entertainment. So Sridhar Swami, So he saw the devotees in Berkeley, and they had a book table with paraphernalia and posters, incense, different things. So he started, came up to the tables looking it over, and, what is this, And then he came to a picture of Krishna. What's that? So the devotee at the book table said, "That's God. That's Krishna." Sridhar Swami said, "That's God? Well, what would you do if I tore up that picture of God?" The devotee replied, "I think I'd have to kill you." And when Sridhar Swami heard that, he was very impressed. I think he thought, "These are my kind of people. I can fit in here." So he became a devotee, and eventually he came to Bombay. We were together there for many, many years. And, I think maybe because of his build, his psychophysical nature, Srila Prabhupada wanted him to be in charge of the construction material. And Sridhar Swami said, "No, I want to preach." And actually, he was so sincere in his desire to preach, he became an excellent preacher, one of the best in the history of ISKCON in India or anywhere. And And then eventually he got hepatitis C, which is very debilitating disease. But anyway, some years after Prabhupada left, we were in Vrindavan together, and we decided we would do Govardhan Parikrama together, which we did. But I wasn't that well myself, but I was thinking, you know, Sridhar Swami really wants to do this Parikrama. I can't disappoint him. So I kept forcing myself. And meanwhile, it turns out that Sridhar Swami himself was in a lot of pain. But he kept thinking, Giriraj Swami really wants to do this Parikrama. I can't disappoint him. And then soon thereafter, I returned to America. And I went into the hospital for cardiac bypass surgery, and Sridhar Swami went into a coma, and he went to the Bhaktivedanta hospital, and later he commented that it shows the power of Govardhan Parikrama, that just by Govardhan Parikrama we could both be totally incapacitated. Well, that was a joke. He had a really good sense of humor, which we'll get to. He really had a very good sense of humor. So, there's also a very important instruction from his life. So, when Tamal Krishna Goswami heard about Sridhar Swami, he came from Vrindavan with two of his close god brothers, Giridhari Swami and Keshava Bharati Das Goswami, and they visited Sridhar Swami in the hospital. And they said, now the time has come, you should just go to Vrindavan and, absorb yourself in chanting and hearing. And Sridhar Swami was so touched that they came. I mean, they didn't go to any of the temples, not to Juhu, not to Chaupati. They just came to see him and spent a couple of days and went back. And he took their advice very seriously. But ultimately he concluded, that's just not me. That's just not me to go to Vrindavan and retire and chant and hear. So he decided that he would travel around the world. And so he took a flight. He took the Pacific route, stopped in Hong Kong, I think had some sort of relapse. Then he came to my place in Santa Barbara. And, he was sort of sick, but, he was getting better. But he was on a very strict diet, and sometimes he wanted a little break from the diet. And his faithful servant who was with him almost the whole time was named Mayapur Das. And in a few minutes I'll read a little of what he had to say. And he was always, very vigilant to make sure Maharaj stayed on his diet. So one night I had a preaching program and I went out. And Maharaj wasn't up to going out. He stayed back. And one lady devotee named Kunti, she stayed back with him. And Mayapur stayed back with him. So he said, after I was safely gone, he said, I want burgers and chips. So Mayapur didn't want to arrange it. And Sridhar Swami looked at me and said, I told you, I want burgers and chips. So he told Kunti, and she prepared them. And he had his prasad, and he went to sleep. But the next morning, he didn't wake up. So, you know, Mayapur kept trying to wake him up. Then we realized, like, he'd gone into coma again. It's related to that disease. The toxins go to your brain, and it's not like some comas where it's like the end, but it was still pretty scary. So we took him to the hospital, and in the hospital he showed how Krishna conscious he was, even though he was like a little, you know, as he gradually came back to consciousness. You know, he was a little disoriented, but his inner Krishna, he was like constantly preaching to people. And he was like so funny because they, you know, hospital, they have their own dress for you. And, you know, he kept saying he felt like baby Huey. And so then, you know, he got out. Then they sent the bill. They sent the bill for like $30,000. He said, they can keep my consciousness. I want my money. But we worked that out. You know, we explained he was a mendicant, and they had some provision, so we worked that out. And then he continued with his travels, and then maybe a year later he came back again. And he said, when he came back the next time, he said, I want some of Kunti's coma burgers. So, anyway, he carried on for quite a while, you know, preaching. He came to Los Angeles, and I came and visited him here. And I probably said, how are you feeling? You know, how are you doing? And he said, yeah, I mean, people ask me that all the time. I said, well, what do you say? He said, well, I say that I lived through last night, and if you want to know about tonight, ask me tomorrow morning. But anyway, in Mayapur, He ended up having just, he knew the end was coming. He had just two desires. First desire, to make it to Mayapur. And second desire, to see the installation of the Panchatattva. And then after that, whatever. And he did. He made it to Mayapur. He made it for the installation of the Panchatattva. And even though he was very sick, he went on the altar, and he did the Abhishek, and it was really glorious, really glorious. And, you know, he'd be in his room, devotees would come and do kirtan, and he was trying different treatments. But his stomach would get very bloated. And one time, towards the end, like a doctor came, he was like lying in his bed, his stomach was like just so bloated, and the doctor had the stethoscope, he was like listening and everything. And Maharaj like opened his eyes and looked at the doctor and said, is it a boy or a girl? So last night, one of the guests asked about this Juan de Dios, the John of God, and I told a little of what I remembered of an exchange that Sridhar Swami had with him. But I thought I'll read it. On two occasions I asked Maharaj's servant Mayapur Das to speak about Sridhar Swami. And so I'll read from this, and then I'll read something else. So we don't put the person's name, but it's in Brazil. There was a healer there who worked with subtle entities, subtle energies. So we went there a few times, and it seemed that it helped Guru Maharaj at first. But the last few times, Maharaj said, there's no significant improvement. It seemed that this healer was becoming so popular that it went to his head a little bit, and he was losing some of his powers. The healer really liked the devotees. And every time we went there, he would call Maharaj to give a 5-minute speech in front of everyone. Then he would call his helpers. He was supposedly working with invisible entities. The entities would take over and then work through his physical body. Some of those entities were former surgeons, so he didn't need an X-ray to see what was happening inside the body. In order to be treated by this healer, people would line up and everyone would have darshan. The healer would then see them personally for 20 or 30 seconds and say, okay, you come for operation tomorrow, or you take this medicine. So one of those days, Guru Maharaj came before him. And the healer said, okay, please stay here. Then he called all his helpers. We had been there a few times over a few months, and I had never seen this happen. Although he would sometimes call some of his helpers, and they would all gather and hold hands, like a medium session. So he called everyone there, and they all gathered around Guru Maharaj to see what was happening. Then the healer took a towel and a rose from a vase. The healer put the rose in Guru Maharaj's hand and then put the towel around his hand. And then he brought all his helpers to listen to what he was saying to Maharaj. He said, this ritual is 1,800 years old. Do you remember what it is? Guru Maharaj was watching, and everyone was just waiting. There was pin drop silence. Then Maharaj said, sorry, I don't remember. The healer asked, can you tell us what you were in your past life? Guru Maharaj said with a sigh, I was a worm in stool. The biggest joke was these translators, because they were Portuguese. They did not understand. They were asking, stool? What is stool? And Maharaj was just dead serious. I was laughing to myself, as I did not want them to understand that it was such a comical situation. The healer looked very disappointed that Guru Maharaj was not into their game. He said, all right, everyone go now. A little later, Guru Maharaj went and apologized. He said, I'm sorry, but I really don't remember what I was in my past life. I really don't. I'm sorry that it was disappointing for you. I'm simply a servant of my spiritual master. The healer said, it's okay. I know. It's okay. So even in the most intense situations, he would crack jokes. And he would always tell his disciples, don't take yourself too seriously. You know, laugh in life. Relax. Krishna has the best sense of humor. And when there would be some reverse with his health, he would say, Krishna must be laughing now. His famous words were, there is no utility in negativity. He would say that to every disciple who came with lots of problems. He would paraphrase Srila Prabhupada's chant Hare Krishna and be happy and say, chant Hare Krishna and have no worries and be happy. This does not mean that he did not take the devotees or the process of devotional service seriously. He was serious, but at the same time, he was a jolly person. So, Maharaj, people have asked, it comes up, how can you be fearless at the time of death? And Sridhar Swami truly was fearless. It's not that he was like making jokes to divert his attention from the reality, but he was actually fearless. He knew he's not the body, and he knew that he's a servant of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, and he knew that in the next life he will continue to serve Srila Prabhupada. And I mean, Mayapur tells about his whole last day. I'll just read one paragraph. Maybe 10 or 15 minutes before he left, he could feel the end was coming, so he told Mayapur, now, we need kirtan. The kirtan was going on from around 3:30 until the moment he left his body. When the situation became critical, the doctors checked Guru Maharaj's bodily symptoms and said, he is leaving. We placed a large photo of Srila Prabhupada in front of him, and he focused intently on that. Maybe half an hour before that, Pankajangri Prabhu had come and brought the tulsi from Lord Nrsingadev's lotus feet, and I was periodically giving him Ganga water. Guru Maharaj was sipping Ganga water for the last 2 hours while we were having kirtan. At about 6:10 in the morning, looking at Srila Prabhupada's photo, he left. I could see that leaving in such a way was something that any Vaishnav would desire. It was perfect. His consciousness was perfectly clear. He had been fully Krishna conscious, Prabhupada conscious, as he had always been. So wherever he has gone, he is with his spiritual master again. Guy. Then he tells a story that a devotee had a dream the day Maharaj left. And in the dream, Maharaj's body was being carried to his samadhi. In the dream, Sridhar Swami was smiling while being carried to the samadhi. the day after Guru Maharaj's body was actually placed in his samadhi, one Mataji said that her daughter had a dream that Maharaj was in the samadhi pit. She was standing in front of him, and he suddenly opened his eyes and smiled. And anyway, there are many, many nice dreams after Maharaj left. And then I guess the one little postscript is after Maharaj left, I was feeling a lot of separation. It was very close to this time of year. I remember on Saturday I had been to the Laguna Festival with Indradumi Swami. We used to go together. And that was on Saturday. And as we came out of the temple room to go to the home where we were staying, I got a phone call on my cell phone, and it was from Mayapur Das in Mayapur, saying that Guru Maharaj had left. So Indradumya Swami and I decided we should have like a memorial program for him the next day on Sunday. And then I asked L.A., I think I phoned, and then sort of agreed to have like a memorial program on Monday morning. So I drove up. And I remember Amarendra Prabhu was speaking when I arrived. And he told like such a nice story. And the one part I remember is that at the end, the same thing, Sridhar Swami was very completely lucid and completely Krishna conscious and, you know, full of love and affection and care. And maybe gave Amarendra Prabhu some advice, and then like he hugged him very, very warmly and tightly. And Amarendra Prabhu said it was like, this was like Sridhar Swami's farewell to him. He didn't say it, but he knew that was his farewell. And I spoke, and then I went back to Santa Barbara. And I went to this place where I walk near the ocean, and I was feeling really deep separation from Maharaj. And it's like he sort of manifested his presence to me. And he said a few things. You know, he said, don't lament. You know, don't be sorry, be happy. And I think the most profound instruction that stayed with me was, you know, just be yourself and make your own contribution. And, you know, when I mentioned it to Mayapur, he said, that definitely sounds like Maharaj. And that statement, I think it was from Sridhar Swami, because it started going around. And I heard even Jananivas Prabhu in Mayapur had quoted Sridhar Swami as saying, just be yourself and make your own contribution. In other words, don't try to be someone you're not. Don't try to imitate someone else. Just be yourself and make your own contribution. So he did that in a wonderful way. He was very involved with the Mayapur project. And I think he would be very pleased that the project is progressing quickly now. And he's just a very special soul. And today is 10 days. He didn't want to leave during the festival. He wanted to make it to Mayapur. He wanted to be there for the installation of the Panchatattva, but he didn't want to leave during the festival. He said, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's festival. I don't want it to become Sridhar Swami's festival. So he waited till all the devotees left, and then on the most auspicious occasion of Srivas Thakur's appearance day, he left in this beautiful way. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna. Huh? It was your desire.
For your clothes to dry. Do you need me to wash your clothes today?
Well, how long will it take?
I have to wash before I go to sleep.